Hey, welcome to the Push Pull Sales and Marketing Podcast. I'm Marcello.
And I'm Sherry. And each episode will provide you with sales and marketing strategies that you can implement immediately into your own business. Today, I'm speaking with Josh Hainum, the founder of the Interactive Quiz Builder at tryinteract.com. Josh struggled to grow his business for 3 years before hitting a key turning point and growing by 300% within 10 months. He's going to be sharing what has worked for him and his business, as well as sharing more information about his own product, where you can create custom quizzes on your website to capture user information. But thank you for coming on the podcast today, Josh.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
So that was a very brief overview, but can you tell us a little bit more about yourself, what you do, how you got there, you know, why you're doing it?
Yeah, definitely. So in terms of my business career, I am a true lifelong entrepreneur in that I'm 25 now and I started my first company at 15. So literally as long as I possibly could be running companies, I have been running companies. And I think it plays into kind of who I actually am, which is that I'm a creator, an inventor. I love anything that has to do with basically making something out of nothing. And that's what I'm really passionate about, is coming up with new ideas, bringing things to life, all that kind of stuff. And
yeah. So I have to interrupt you real quick, though.
Yeah.
What were you doing at 15? What was your idea then?
Yeah. So at 15, I was doing the only thing that I knew how to do at 15 to make money, which was installing sprinkler systems and lawns, which is very hard work. very hard work. But it was all I knew how to do because I had done it with my dad in my own backyard. And then I wanted to create my own company. And so I went out and sold the one thing that I actually knew how to do. So that's what I started with. And now I run software that has nothing to do with manual labor. So it's
thank goodness, right?
Yeah, it's a much nicer setup to be able to walk into an air conditioned office with a ping pong table and, you know, have a lot of fun while you're making software rather than carrying around, you know, 80-pound rolls of sod. So anyways, that is kind of my background and where I came from in terms of how I got to where I am now.
Cool. So tell us a little bit more about your company right now. How did you get the idea for this and what are you doing with it currently?
Yeah, so the company that I have now is a quiz builder, but the purpose of the quiz builder is to help you build up your email list and generate new contacts that you can sell to. So you can implement a quiz on your website as a pop-up. So basically, you can replace whatever you're already doing as a pop-up. A lot of people are doing pop-ups or those announcement bars across the top of your site. You can replace that with a quiz. And it's an interactive quiz, just like the ones you see on BuzzFeed, except with our quizzes, at the end of it, once somebody answers the questions, they are prompted to enter their information. So usually it's an email address, sometimes a name and other information as well. And that goes to your email list. So that is what it is. It's a way of drawing people in through your website and also through Facebook ads and then getting them onto your contact list. The way it came about was that Matt is my co-founder in the company. We used to be web consultants, so we'd build entire websites for people. And everybody was looking to generate more contacts. Like, that's the lifeblood of every company. Right. It used to be a Rolodex, now it's an email list.
Right.
And we stumbled upon the quiz concept because one of our customers requested that we build him one. And so we did. We built it custom, and it performed vastly better than anything else we had ever done in terms of bringing in those new contacts. Mm-hmm. And we saw that as a massive opportunity. Everybody's trying to get new contacts. This is almost like a cheat in a video game. You know, it's a cheat code to get you more contacts. And so we built this platform for making the quizzes.
Very cool. Yeah, I like that the quiz aspect of things, because currently a lot of people are trying to come up with some sort of enticing content offer, and those are tough to come up with. And there's a lot of time and energy and money that can be put into those offers. And I like the simplicity of the quiz. I like that it's so interactive. I'm sure that you can still, on your website, I think you have some templates in a variety of industries that people can use right from the get-go, or you can completely customize it, right?
Yeah, so the concept is that if you want to just get something up and running really quickly, you don't have to modify any of the content. You don't have to come up with your own content or any of that. All you have to do is add the code into your site so that the pop-up starts running, and voila, you have a pop-up running that's a quiz that's connected to your email list in like 15 minutes. However, if you want to dig into it and customize things, you can go really, really deep on that, and you can change every single aspect. You can add all sorts of tracking codes. You can add branching logic, so there's different paths through the quiz. So there's a ton you can do with it. It's extremely powerful. But the starting place is with something that's very simple and very quick to implement, because everybody just wants to know whether this actually works. Right. And so the time to get to finding out whether it actually works can be as little as 15 minutes.
Awesome. So my other question is, so they enter their email at the end of the quiz. Is that, are you sending them their results via email, or how is that working?
Yeah, so we show the results right after they enter the email, because we found that people don't like to wait for that email to come. Mm-hmm. It's always disappointing and all that kind of stuff. Also, people can share their results, so you definitely want to show it to them right away so that they have an opportunity to share it directly to Facebook or Twitter or Pinterest or other networks, things like that. So they can actually share their particular result, so it's shown right on the page. And then you can trigger an email that goes out to those people depending on which result they got. So you could send them a more full description of their results. You could send them other tips based on their results, that kind of stuff. So you can segment your audience depending on which outcome they get from the quiz.
I like that option, though. I like that it pops up right away. So they enter their email address, and then they're just taken to a new screen that shows their results.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Absolutely.
Yep. And then it's less work on the business end, too. If they don't want to have to create a whole follow-up email, it can just live on that website. And I do something that I hadn't thought of there was that list segmentation, that it could be very helpful if you use it in a way that makes sense for you, that those quiz results are segmenting your customer base so that you can follow up in a way that's more personalized to them.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, that gets you into the realm of transactional emails, and transactional emails basically just being anything that's sent to somebody in response to their input. So they tell you something, and in response, you send them an email. And transactional emails get twice the opens, twice the clicks, twice the purchases. So you've gone from the realm of sending everybody the same stuff like you would if you just were capturing through a regular pop-up, and now you're sending these personalized emails that are directly in response to the person's input, and you're going to be much better off in terms of how many people are opening those and reading them and clicking through and buying and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I love it. So what is one of your most popular or most used quizzes on your website out of those templates that you have ready to go?
Yeah, so there's a few that have become really popular, specifically in kind of like the blogging, sales, and marketing space. There is What Type of Blogger Are You, which a lot of bloggers are using, and I believe it's been cloned like 10,000 times, something like that.
That's awesome.
And then there's another one that's What's Your Brand Personality? So that's one that you would use to sell to, you know, like clients if you're doing like branding and things like that. That one's also been cloned about 10,000 times, and those both have a 50% conversion rate. So when we look at the numbers internally, we can see everybody who's used one template, and we can see the conversion rate across everybody that's used it. And both of those are at 50%, meaning that half of the people that start taking those quizzes end up becoming leads.
Great. Along those lines, if someone wants to customize a quiz, do you have any, I know it's going to vary so much based on what they're doing in their industry, but are there any like best practices as when it comes to creating that quiz, those questions that you should be asking? What are people wanting to find out about themselves, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So there's definitely some serious best practices. And the way that we found those is by, again, looking at a cross section of all the data that comes into our platform and then figuring out what's working best in terms of how you pose questions and what you make the quiz about and all that kind of stuff. So you want to make your quiz basically in the format of which blank are you or what blank are you. So for example, what type of blogger are you is perfect for that. The reason it works so well is that people want to find out something about themselves. Mm-hmm. And if you force yourself to go into that template of which blank are you or what type of blank are you, then your quiz automatically tells people something about themselves just by the nature of it. So that's the most important thing. Then when you get onto the questions, the most important thing with those is to put yourself in the right mindset. And the right mindset is basically to imagine that you're actually asking questions to a person. So if you think of somebody that you would like to have take your quiz, just write the questions to that person. Mm-hmm. And it'll keep you honest in terms of making sure those questions are natural and free-flowing and all that kind of stuff. Because the worst thing you can do is make it seem like you're just trying to collect data. And it's really obvious when you're doing that. And it's a natural tendency. Oh, well, that's what I want to do. But nobody wants to answer those questions. People like answering questions because they like to talk about themselves and to talk about themselves to one other person. They don't like to talk about themselves to some company that's capturing their information. So that's the key.
And I think the other point of that, too, is that you're not – yes, it would be great if you were capturing some information through those questions, but also – the goal of the quiz is to capture the email address to be able to follow up from there. So trying to keep that top of mind that you're not necessarily digging for demographics here. You're simply using this as a lead generation tool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's important to have a singular focus, and your singular focus is getting those new contacts, right? Because that's what's really valuable to your company. So you don't want to mess that up by trying to go too far on capturing data in other places and all that kind of stuff. And you want to keep the rest of it really just as an entertainment piece. Mm-hmm. And then you have that one opportunity where you're capturing the contact, which is where you get all the value out of it. So that's the key.
Yeah, I like the phrase entertainment piece. And I think that's something important to keep in mind versus, you know, a survey or something that people are having to fill out, that it's a quiz and it's supposed to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, nobody wants to fill out a survey. Nobody wants to answer questions that are going to a company. But people love taking quizzes, and they like taking quizzes because they're fun. They like taking quizzes because they get to talk about themselves. They like taking quizzes because they get to find out about themselves. And you have to keep that top of mind when you're creating your quiz.
So shifting a little bit, I am totally on board. I think it's a fantastic idea. I think it's a great service. I think it's something, I know it is something that has been on my to-do list for far too long to incorporate into my own websites. So then even though you had this great idea, this great service, it wasn't gaining enough traction for you, right? For quite a while.
Yeah, it took a really long time to catch on in the market, like three years before it kind of started to hit the mainstream, and that happened this year. So the previous 3 years before that were very slow.
Yeah, so what do you attribute to that growth?
There's a couple of things. One of them is kind of things that were beyond our control, where people just started to kind of come around to the concept of using quizzes for lead generation. I think part of that is because old school tactics are just increasingly not working that well. Mm-hmm. And especially stuff like Facebook ads are getting way more expensive in terms of your cost per lead than they used to be. So people are searching for something new. But then the other thing is that we switched our own sales strategy away from a direct approach and towards an indirect approach, which is very counterintuitive to conventional wisdom, because, you know, that just doesn't make any sense. Like, how are you supposed to sell if you're going indirectly? But we used to try to approach companies directly and explain the quiz concept and how that would help them generate leads and all that kind of stuff, and then sell them the product. Mm-hmm. The problem was that no one had ever heard of using this. And to this day, no one has ever heard of it before coming to us. So it's still the same issue. But when you go to somebody and you're trying to sell them something, and you're also trying to introduce the new concept, those are two separate issues. You're trying to introduce a concept and you're also trying to sell. Mm-hmm. And we could never make both of those happen. We would maybe do one. We'd introduce the concept and then they would go back and think about it. And it's kind of funny because some of the people that we spoke to years ago have just finally decided, like 3 years later, like, oh, okay, maybe I'll try that. But that is absolutely not something that works when right. you are a company that's starting out, and especially like ours, where we are not funded by outside sources. We are funded by our customers paying us. So we can't afford to wait 3 years for people to decide right. they want to try
this.
That's
a long sales cycle.
Very, very, very long time. And I think it's just part of doing something that's genuinely new is that it takes a long time for people to decide on something new because there's a lot of risk to doing something new. Whatever they're doing before is working, even if it's working less well now, at least it's reliable. They know it works. So mm-hmm. it's a very tough thing. So that didn't work. We wasted a lot of money and, you know, we ended up hiring and firing different salespeople over a couple of years trying to make it work. It still didn't work. So then we switched over to influencer marketing. And the way that we do that is we basically partner with influential marketing people and we ask them to use our tool and then review it and share their results if they're willing to. And the only reason they'd be willing to is if it works really well. And so we are basically relying on the fact that we know this thing works well. And so we approach people, have them use the product, and then write about their results with it. And that has broken things open because as soon as somebody sees, oh, this works for so-and-so, then they're willing to try it, even if they've never heard of it before, because there's that trust that's built in mm-hmm. with a third party reviewing it and getting these results for themselves. So that's what we switched over to, and that's what's really changed the game for us.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense, and you're able to address that education piece through those influencers, that they're able to give firsthand experience and teach people about the product without ever having to do that hard sell. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the key to it is that, you know, we have to educate and sell, and we can't do both as mm-hmm. our company. So then we outsource the education part, and then our website/product can do the selling where people actually see, okay, like once I sign up, I see how this works, and then I'm willing to, you know, actually use it and pay for it. So we have to kind of divide those things up instead of doing both of them ourselves.
Yeah. So what type of influencers did you start to work with?
Yeah. So we mostly work with people in the marketing and coaching space around mm-hmm. business. So anybody that is directly interfacing with brands as a marketing guru, if you will, mm-hmm. is who we want to partner with. And there's tens of thousands, probably hundreds yeah. of thousands of these people because small businesses need to outsource their marketing, but they can't afford to like actually hire a team to do it. So mm-hmm. then they hire a consultant, and those consultants typically have their own blogs and their own brand that they promote. And those consultants are who we work with because they have the influence over the end user, which is who actually ends up paying for our product. So that's who we connect with. And, you know, we connect with a ton of them, you know, at this point, thousands. And in the future, it'll be tens of thousands, maybe hundreds. And they use our product, they try it out, and then they share it with their tribe.
I think that's so interesting. That is a way bigger number than I was expecting you to say. And I think, I mean, you seemingly went all in on this strategy then. How many, was this kind of the core thing? Like, we're going to try this and go all in that this is our strategy moving forward. I mean, having to have a network of 1,000 influencers, that's a daunting task.
Yeah, it is. And you have to take it one piece at a time.
Right.
I think the results started to come in not that quickly. It took a couple of months before things actually started to move in the positive direction after we launched the influencer program. But even before that, just interfacing with the influencers and hearing their feedback was positive at the beginning. And then once it did start to move the needle in terms of our customers and revenue, then it was like, okay, it's time to really dive into this. And we've hired three people that are working on that influencer marketing team now. So they're working on it full time and continuing to expand it. But yeah, it's definitely been an all-in type of deal, but also one at a time, because every single one of these influencers is important to us, and we want to make sure that they have just as good of an experience as, you know, the very first one that we worked with back at the beginning of the year. So we want to make sure that we don't lose any of the quality right. in terms of how we're connecting with those people. But yeah, it is a massive undertaking.
It sounds like it. So what are some of the most common questions that you hear from people, whether it's these influencers as they're first getting to know the product, or whether it's from your customers as they're starting out with this process? What are some of those common questions?
Yeah, most of the common questions come in around the content itself, and people are very apprehensive about launching quizzes because it's going to represent their brand and it's going to represent their company, and it's going to be out there in the public eye, and they want to make sure that it doesn't tarnish their reputation or anything like that. And there's always this fear that because it's a quiz and because it's this gimmicky thing, it's going to reflect negatively on them. And I think there's grounds to that, because if you do launch something really silly, like which Friends character are you, and you sell SaaS like enterprise software, then that is going to reflect negatively on you. There's no reason to do that. It doesn't make any sense. So what I always tell people is to kind of stick with what works. And that's why we've developed all the templates that we have, because you can sort by industry, and then you can see conversion rates across those templates. So you can sort them by conversion rate. So you can basically grab a template that works in your industry and works really well. And I always recommend just starting with that and kind of, you know, in some sense, turning off your brain, because there's always going to be something that's nagging at you, like, oh, you need to change all these things. But in reality, you should just give it a try and see how it works before you go in and really invest all that time. And then once you do invest the time, we have a ton of resources for like how to granularly break down like every single element. Then you can dive into those once you've had a chance to make sure that it's going to fit for you. But yeah, we get a lot of questions around the content itself, which is why we've just built up this really vast portfolio of templates for all the industries.
Yeah, it was something that came up when I was speaking to the founder of Taylor Brands as well, where they create these logos for you, and it's a similar kind of thing. And a lot of it's based off of, you know, they're going to present you with a couple different options. And yes, you can edit it from there, but we had that conversation of like, yeah, but then usually we end up screwing it up. Like me on the user end, usually I'm like, ooh, nope, the original looked way better. And so I do think it's nice to have that option, but I do think it does need to be well thought out if you're going to change the formula that's been working. And the other point that you made, I mean, the two examples that you gave, like what type of blogger are you? And, you know, potentially even more for the company side of things, like what's your brand personality? You know, those are so far removed from kind of, like you said, what Friends character are you? You know, that there is a common misconception there. And these can be very valuable. They can be taken seriously. They can offer insight into what something that person is trying to learn about themselves or trying. You can give them insight through these quizzes if you do it the right way.
Yeah, I mean, you can really do a lot of good with them. And, you know, within our tool, we've got this branching feature. So you can actually have people go down a different path depending on how they answer certain questions. So you can get very, very particular with it. And a lot of the brands that we work with are very worried about that. They want to make sure that they're not telling people the wrong thing. So yes, you can dive way into it and get super, super specific. So There's definitely resources for that. And like I said, it's not going to be which Friends character are you. It's going to be something that's very specific to your industry and to the audience that you're trying to reach as well, which is very, very important. You want to make sure everything is on brand and basically reaching the type of people that you want to reach with the message that they want to hear. So there's definitely opportunities to make sure that it fits in with the exact audience that you are trying to go after.
Definitely. And there was something there that sparked too. I just wanted to offer the point as well that all of the answers are all going to be spun positively. Like, there's never going to be a negative or insulting result. You know, it's not, are you going to succeed in business or not? Is your company going to, you know, go bankrupt kind of thing? Like, that's not where you're coming from. These are all, regardless of what answer they get at the end of their quiz, it's still something that you're going to be able to offer some positive, and they're going to get a good feeling out of the answer regardless. Kind of like what you always get with horoscopes kind of thing. I feel like, you know, regardless of where you fall, they're general and positive enough in enough areas that you can walk away feeling good about yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And it makes sense. You know, if you were sitting down with somebody and actually giving them a consultation and asking them these types of questions, you're not going to get to the end of that conversation and be like, okay, you're going to fail because of X, Y, and Z. We just don't do that. It's just not something that we would do to another person. That's just not a nice thing to do. So in person, you would say something that's positive. You know, even if the result is not the best one, you'd say, here's some good aspects, here's some things to work on. Mm-hmm. And that's how you should write your quiz as well, because you should, again, act like you're sitting across the desk from somebody and it's an actual person that you're giving these results to, and you're telling them the positive aspects of the results and the negative aspects, and you're trying to not spin it, but put it in a positive light, because people react much better to positive encouragement rather than negative feedback. So you want to make sure that you are playing into that.
Yeah. And back to the influencer stuff real quick. Do you have any advice for companies that are wanting to start out with this influencer marketing type work? How can they get started? Where do they start? Any advice that you've learned along the way in these last couple months?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that are really important with that. One thing is to know who you want to work with. I think people hear influencer and they think, oh, you know, all these people that have a following. Yeah, right? It's like all these people who have a following, like that's who I want to work with. But in reality, you want to find the people who have influence over the audience you're actually trying to reach. Mm-hmm. So that's not going to be every single influencer. That's not going to be Kim Kardashian in 99% of cases. And there's actually studies showing that big influencers rarely have positive ROI because you have to pay them. But what they bring back to you is never as much as you pay them in the first place. So it's just not a good setup. So you want to find the people that you actually want to work with and figure out how to connect with them. And then when you do connect with them, you have to go in from a very humble perspective, because these people get approached a lot, and when you pitch them, you need to make sure that it's very clear what's in it for them, what you're getting out of it, even if, you know, it is, you're always getting something out of it, so you should just be upfront about what you're getting out of it rather than trying to hide it, because they're just going to be turned off by that. They're going to be wondering what it is you're trying to get out of it, and that's not a good situation to be in. So you want to figure out exactly who you want to connect with. And then when you go to connect with them, just be very humble and be very clear about what they're getting, what you're getting, what the deal is, and then just try to connect.
I like that a lot. And it's something that is a common mistake that, you know, I get approached often, and they are usually very quick to tell me how much it could benefit me. But you're right. Then the flip side is we're not being transparent here, and I know you're benefiting from this too. And all of a sudden I'm put kind of on the defense a little bit, as if like, okay, yeah, this is helpful to me, but also this is helpful to you too. Like, I am valuable in this equation. And I think sometimes just addressing that and acknowledging that just helps. It just helps. I mean, we always talk about, you know, be as human as you can. And like you said, if you were sitting down with somebody, you would be offering that balanced perspective. And so the same should be addressed whether you're, you know, emailing or pitching people digitally as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you wouldn't sit down with somebody and be like, let me tell you all these ways that this is good for you, mm-hmm. and neglect to mention what you're getting out of it, because if they were sitting there, they're going to push back on that. But mm-hmm. email and outreach on the internet is interesting because you kind of have to anticipate the pushback and include it in your original message, because you don't get the pushback. You just won't get a response at all. You'll never hear from those people. And you won't necessarily know why. And it's really important to know what's going to be sent back and anticipate and include that in your first message, which is why with influencer outreach, you want to make sure that you're including what's in it for everybody and what the entire deal is all about.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think that's great advice. What recommendation do you have for our listeners? So like a book, an app, maybe a course, something that has really helped you, whether it was when you were 15 or more recently.
Yeah. So I think there's a few things that really helped me. And none of them are necessarily things you can buy, but they are more habits. I think one of the really big things is finding out a good cadence for you that involves some time set aside for focused work, because if you're starting a company, if you're really heads down on sales and marketing, then most of your day is going to be very busy. You're going to have a lot of stuff that's breaking it up, a lot of meetings, that kind of stuff. And it's important to find a cadence that involves a couple hours a day where you're able to actually focus on whatever it is you're trying to do or learn at that time. So for me, I wake up early. My first couple of hours are focus time. It's where I read. It's where I journal, all that kind of stuff. And that is vastly important for me to continue learning and growing. So that's the number one thing. The number two thing is to not let yourself slip into a habit of working all the time and letting work take over your mind all the time, because you want to be very, very clear about setting aside time to do things that are not work, where you don't think about work. Because what that's going to do is it's going to put you in a different mindset where you are changing your perspective. And when you change your perspective, it helps you actually understand better what's going on in your work. And you can identify things that are going well, things that are not going well, all that kind of stuff. And you're going to be much better off in the long run. So find time to detach and do things that are, completely outside of your normal work mindset so that you can make better decisions when you're in work.
Yeah, I've experienced that myself too. And, where you get in those ruts where you realize you haven't walked away from your laptop in days, weeks, and realizing, as soon as you walk away and start to live and have those experiences, that things do become a lot more clear. And the to-do list that seemed very important, maybe you can throw away, 50 of those items, because now you have a new idea, a better way to do it, or you just at least get to come back refreshed and tackle it again. But I've absolutely experienced that in my own life. And it's something that, some days I do better than others, but keeping that top of mind is definitely important.
Yeah, definitely. And, you can take it a step further and I always make it important to get away and get on an actual vacation where I'm gone out of my typical mindset for weeks at a time, which takes things to a whole other level in that regard, because then you're actually able to disconnect entirely and, you're out of your element for a very long time. And that really helps make things clear. In terms of what's going well in your work and what's not, what you need to change, what you need to keep the same.
Yeah, I'm not at that point yet. I can't imagine how much work goes into being able to not work for a couple weeks. Is it crazy before and after?
Actually, at this point, not so much. I actually just got back yesterday or the day before from Vietnam. I was there for 2 weeks, and I didn't really have to do anything because I've got a great team around me that handles everything. So I was able to just leave and come back and jump right back in. You know, I'm not involved with the day-to-day operations at this point, so it's very easy for me to disconnect and come back.
That's awesome. So how can people find you and your stuff?
Yeah, so I am on LinkedIn. I do a lot of stuff on there with networking and whatnot. So I am just Josh Hainem. I'm the only Josh Hainem in the world, actually. So if you search Josh Hainem, I will come up on LinkedIn, on Twitter as well. And then you can actually email me directly. It's funny because I always say this, but very few people actually do it because I think there's a lot of apprehension around like actually sending somebody an email. So I have
no
problem.
It's almost like the new phone number or like, you know, where it's weird. Like people, they're surprised if they get your actual email address.
Yeah. So it's great. So my email is just josh@tryinteract.com. And then our website is tryinteract.com. That's where you can go to check out all the quizzes.
Perfect. Any final thoughts for us, Josh?
I think final thoughts in terms of kind of wrapping everything up is that conversation is key. And with technology, we've moved away from that and we've tried to automate things. And Interact, even though it is a technology for making quizzes, is actually a hearkening back to facilitating conversations and actually helping people connect one-to-one. And I think that's super important to remember, especially with marketing and sales and all these new tactics, is that at the end of the day, when real change happens, it's because of conversation.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I think, I agree. I don't have anything to add to it. All right. Well, thank you so much for talking with us, Josh. And your Try Interact is moving up my to-do list. It's something I just need to do it, right? I need to not be on the 3-year cycle, and I just need to dive in and let it start working for me.
Yep. Just get in there.
All right. That sounds good. Well, thank you, Josh. And we'll make sure that everybody has your information through the show notes as well. And we will talk to you guys later.
All right. Thank you.
That wraps things up for this episode. And wanted to remind you guys that you can always find show notes at pushpullsales.com. You can also connect with us on social media. We are at pushpullsales on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can reach out to us anytime if you have feedback or topic suggestions or want to be a guest on the show. You can simply email us pushpullsales@gmail.com. You can also support our show at patreon.com/pushpullsales. Thank you to bensound.com for our intro and outro music. And thanks to you guys for listening. Tune in next time where we'll tackle another topic. See ya.